ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So before I begin the Srimad Bhagavatam reading and talk, which will be Canto 9, Chapter 14, text number 22 and 23. 23 has the purport on it, and that's the one that I will be chanting. I want to thank you all very much for attending. It's always a pleasure to share with you the wonderful, glorious teachings that Srila Prabhupada has brought from Krishna to us. So we are greatly fortunate, and I am greatly fortunate to have you here so that I can offer some service to you. For it is serving Vaishnavas where all our true happiness, true advancement, and true glory resides. There is nothing greater than this, and again I thank you all, not only for serving you here, but wherever you allow me to serve you. Well, this is what is pleasing to Krishna, and what else are we supposed to do except try to please Krishna? Okay. So I'll read the first translation. We can work this. Yeah, the first translation. Which is text number 22. This mic is falling down, so somebody who has a little bit of engineering skill is doing this. So either you need a rubber band or you need something to get it in the right position. Yeah, get it right over here. Yeah, lower, no, lower. Yeah, because I don't see it. Yeah, good. Urvashi said, "My dear hero, only preparations made in ghee, clarified butter, will be my edibles, and I shall not want to see you naked at any time, except at the time of sexual intercourse." The great-minded King Puduruva accepted these proposals. So here the conditions are being spelled out for a marriage. And Urvashi has given three specific conditions. One of them is that he must protect her little pets, her lambs. Second of all, as it is mentioned here, that she wants to eat. It's still hanging over this way. So, yeah, somebody has to come who knows something about these things. It's going to be this way, and nobody's going to hear it. Okay? So either get a rope or something. Yeah, that's fine. If we can just keep it there so that it doesn't move, it shouldn't be doing this really. It should be tightened in such a way. Okay? Yeah. Okay, thank you. Huh? I'm not as good a holder as you. My hands go all over the place because I'm a big gesturer, unfortunately. So, I've just stated the verse. I'm going to say it again because so that we maintain the continuity. It's fine now. Thank you. No, it's okay now. My dear hero, only preparations made in ghee, clarified butter, will be my edibles, and I shall not want to see you naked at any time except at the time of sexual intercourse. The great-minded King Puduruva accepted these proposals. So these are the other two in addition to her desiring that he protect her little lambs. Aho Rupam. Aho Babha Naraloka. Hmm. Kaha. Did I miss a word? Which is the word? Naru Loka. Oh yes, I see it. Sorry about that. Vimohanam. Kaha. Na. Sevata. Manujaha. Devim. Tvam. Svayam agatam. The verse is coming now, Kabir. Yeah. Aho rupam aho bhavo. Naraloka vimohanam. Kona sevata manujo. Devim tvam svayam agatam. Aho rupam aho bhavo. Naro loka vimohanam. Kona sevata manujo. Devim tvam svayam agatam. Aho rupam aho bhavo. Nara loka vimahunam. Vimohanam. Kona sevate manujo. Devim tvam svayam agatam. Please chant. Yeah, because it's blocking my view. No, it's okay, Prabhu. This let it be. It's okay this way. Ladies, please. Aho, wonderful, rupam, beauty. Aho, wonderful, bhavaha, postures. Nara loka, in human society or in the planet Earth. Vahomanam, so attractive. Kaha? Who? Na? Not. Sevata? Can accept. Manujaha? Among human beings. Devim? A demigoddess. Tvam? Like you. Svayam? Agatam? Who has personally arrived. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Pururava replied, just to bring us up to speed. Urvashi, she was cursed, okay? There are actually two curses, but the one that we have heard about is the one in which Varuna, Varuna was walking with his wife, I believe, and Urvashi walked by them, and she began to walk and act in such a way as to arouse sexual interest or sexual desire in both of them. They didn't particularly like that, and what happens, there was a spilling of semen, which was saved in a pot, and that semen came to be ultimately King Pururava. So Urvashi is really here for a certain period of time. She's a heavenly planet damsel. She's from Gandharva Loka, but she does dancing in Indra Loka itself. She's also known as a society girl, which is a fancy name for prostitute. And she's very knowledgeable in all the wiles and all the seductions of the female sex. She's basically a master of this. She's also considered one of the most beautiful women in the heavenly world. There are others who are almost as beautiful, but she is, yes, extremely beautiful and very difficult for any man to resist, as is being cited by King Pururava. So she has come down when, let me say this, is that when Narada Muni was talking about him in a darba or a an assembly, Urvashi happened to have been there, and Narada Muni was talking about the way he looked, how handsome he was, his eyes, his mouth, his nose, and some of his good qualities. So she became very attractive to him just on the basis of hearing what he looked like. And that being the case, and second of all, there was another thing which ticked off Indra, and that is when Urvashi was doing a dance. This is from the Puranic Encyclopedia. When Urvashi was doing a dance, Indra's son, Jayanta, he came walking in, and he was so handsome, so good-looking, that she couldn't get her eyes off him, and consequently, she was missing her steps in the dance. So she was making a lot of mistakes in her dance, and that very much upset Indra, and that was also one of the reasons as to why he cursed her. It would be for a limited amount of time, because she should have been focused upon her service, which was to dance beautifully. Okay? So, Pururava replied. He's replying to her conditions for marriage. O beautiful one, your beauty is wonderful, and your gestures are also wonderful. Indeed, you are attractive to all human society. Therefore, since you have come of your own accord from the heavenly planets, who on earth would not agree to serve a demigoddess such as you? Purport. It appears from the words of Urvashi that the standard of living, eating, behavior, and speech are all different on the heavenly planets from the standards on this earth, planet Earth. The inhabitants of the heavenly planets do not eat such abominable things as meat and eggs. Everything they eat is prepared in clarified butter. nor do they like to see either men or women naked, except at the time of sexual intercourse. To live naked or almost naked is uncivilized. But on this planet Earth, it has now become fashionable to dress half naked, and sometimes those like hippies live completely naked. Indeed, there are many clubs and societies for this purpose, nudist colonies and the like. Such conduct is not allowed, however, on the heavenly planets. The inhabitants of the heavenly planets, aside from being very beautiful, both in complexion and bodily features, are well-behaved and long-living, and they eat first-class food in goodness. These are some of the distinctions between the inhabitants of the heavenly planets and the inhabitants of Earth. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Chalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Nena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, and I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. As we read on, we will see that the way King Puru Rava answers her further is that he says that we can really enjoy ourselves, travel around, and just have sex and sex and sex. This is his idea. As if that's the goal of life. That's he's a king, he has wealth, he has power, his position. But she's so beautiful, she's so captivating, she's so alluring. She's aroused his passion so intensely that his only thought right now is the obsession of, let us just travel and enjoy like anything. So one would think, anyone who has some spiritual sense, that this man is basically very, very ignorant. He's foolish. He seems to be silly, inane. He has no wisdom. He has no knowledge. He doesn't seem to have any understanding that there are higher principles in life for enjoyment. That one does not simply do that and that and that and that and that, and that's it. So, and she agrees. She says, yes, that's what we will do. We will travel and we will do this and we will do that and this. We will have wonderful sexual relationship. So it seems that he has no understanding and has no idea that this type of a life leads to all kinds of miseries, as we will see as the chapter goes on. And he becomes virtually one of the most miserable persons in the world as a result of this addiction that he develops for Urvashi. And it's actually a lesson to all of us. No man should ever think that he's so strong and so full of resistance and so detached and so full of discrimination and so full of love of God that even if I had sexual relationship, I would never be attached. I would never be like Puruva. So having such an idea is a very good setup to become like Puruva. Actually, Prabhupada's position was always that I can fall at any moment. And he even would say I have bad qualities which would cause that, which we know if not true, but that's his humility. So, when a person has that humility, then he becomes somewhat restrictive or controlled. He realizes that he has weaknesses, he has failings. And those weaknesses and failings cause certain juices to start flowing in the body. And when they flow to a certain degree, it is very difficult to cut off the passion of sexual desire. It's called like the point of no return, the point of passing the demarcated mark. And then a man is completely helpless at that time. And a man who thinks that he's impervious to these wiles and these allurements is just digging his own grave. It is better to take the position that Prabhupada took, is that every material or physical attachment that we develop in this world, every pleasure that we become absorbed in this world, becomes the precursor of our next birth in this world. Because if we become attached to this pleasure and that pleasure and this person and that person and this place and that place, well, you always, always want to experience them. So if you don't have this experience now in 2 weeks or so, 3 weeks or so, then you want to re-experience it. I know many people, they like to, they've had pleasures, for example, in their past when they were children, when they were teenagers. And they like to go back to those places where they lived and visit them and try to remember the pleasures that they had. But they completely forget the misery that they also had. This is very common. There were miseries there, but they're forgotten. We just remember the pleasures because basically we are pleasure-seeking beings. And why do we seek pleasure? Because originally we were all Krishna-conscious living beings in the spiritual world. And at some point we no longer desire to serve Krishna, but desire to serve ourselves or our own senses. Our own desire for proprietorship and controllership. Krishna is getting all of this. What does it feel like? What does it taste like? How nice it would be if I just stopped serving Krishna for a while and just got a taste of what he's getting. It's the mentality. So when that becomes pretty intense, Krishna says, all right, I've got a nice little planet for you. It's already prepared. It's built. So he flings the living entity into the material energy, and then the material energy covers him. When the material energy covers him, at that point, he no longer even thinks of Krishna, no longer wants to serve Krishna, because that's what the material energy does. It makes us not want to serve God, know God, look up to God, love God, honor God. It makes us want to serve ourselves, our own senses, our own mind, our own intelligence, and anyone and anything which is connected with those three that I just mentioned, which will help to increase our pleasure of the mind, the pleasure of the body, pleasure of the senses, the pleasure of the intelligence. The whole mentality is me, 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 me. And when somebody talks about God, no, I don't want to hear about him. I want to hear my name mentioned. Not mine, but I want the person is thinking. I want to hear my name mentioned. I want to hear about my fame. I want to hear people talking about my glory. Because it makes me feel like a lord. And that's why we're here, to be a lord. And every time somebody, I see my name in the newspaper or I see it on the internet, or I hear people talking about me, ha, I'm achieving. I'm getting someplace. I'm really moving on up. No, he's really moving on down. Why is he moving on down? Because this is false pride. It's thinking that, yes, the more I become God, the more I become a Lord, the more I become important, the more I become applauded, the more I become venerated and adored, that's good, but it's not good. Because a time comes, since Krishna is ultimately in charge, when we don't get those things. Your favorite famous actor, eventually, you know, new fans come in for new stars. And your old fans, you become old and crotchety and decrepit, and they don't even look at you anymore. You've got all these lines in your face and this and that. No, you were handsome and you were beautiful, and now somebody else to look at. So, of course, now you don't have your fan club. We don't have our admirers. We don't have people looking up to us. So what do? It's depressing. And in that depression, what do these people do? They take drugs. They take alcohol. I just saw a study last night. The amount of marijuana being sold has doubled since last year. And now there are many states which not only have the sale of marijuana for medicinal use, but many states allow it for recreational use. In other words, you can go in and it's like you're buying a pack of cigarettes. So you can see how Kali Yuga is quickly deteriorating. As it goes on, soon you'll be able to go to your favorite cigar store or cigarette store and get yourself a hit of cocaine. This is where it's going. It's terrible. It's horrible. Unless, of course, Krishna rescues and sends a tsunami or sends a big earthquake and keeps us thinking about something else, like just putting our house together or putting our body together. So here we have, as I said, two people. All they want to do is just enjoy like anything. So that's why it's very common for men and women in the material world to want sex. I just read just a week or two ago, and I warned some of the Harinam devotees who go to Venice Beach, that the Venice Beach Council has voted for women now can walk around the boardwalk topless now. So, but it hasn't been passed by the mayor yet, and it hasn't been passed by a higher. And it's thought that it will not be put. And the reason it will not, in 1974, actually people on Venice Beach walking naked, it was allowed. But there were other people coming from all states and cities with their cameras, and they were taking these pictures, you know, with their telephoto lenses, and having them published in various media. So finally they put an end to that, and now people had to put on bathing trunks, tops, bottoms, the whole thing. So the whole idea that the woman who's the president of this Venice Beach Council, she says, well, we should have the same equality as men. They don't understand, as it just meant, that these concepts, these ideas of trying to be like an animal are not ideas which lift the consciousness, you know, which raise it, which exalt it, which bring it to a higher level. All it does is degrade the consciousness, because when a man sees a half-naked woman or a woman sees a man, then they're aroused sexually. So when there's a continual bombardment of the senses and stimulation of the senses for sexual activity, then what is the result of that? It means people engage more and more of this, and when there's more and more pleasure-seeking and pleasure-getting, the result is depression. Everything has a counterbalancing effect. And I've talked to people who've had this addiction for sex, and they tell me, I'm always depressed, and the only way I can get rid of it is yielding to the desire. And some of these are very high-placed positions. I saw an interview on PBS, a minister, a priest, a CEO woman, and she was complaining about that she gets this, it's overwhelming, she has to go into the bars, pick up a man, and she didn't mind that so much until finally she picked up a sadist, and he just loved pounding away at female faces, and that's what he did to her. So therefore she went for therapy, you see. She was forced to do that. This is a very sad testament that persons who have a good education. It shows you this kind of materialistic education can only take you so far. It might get you a good job, high-paying job, and may not. If we're not karmically set up, even if you have PhDs, even if you're an MD, even if you're a high-placed lawyer, you can lose your job. I just also read another interesting article. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, very fascinating. He was walking near the court in Washington, coming out of the building, and he saw somebody. It was a homeless man, and he was sitting on the curb. And he looked at him, and the man looked very familiar. And he bent down, and he says, do I know you? Because he's not exactly the kind of person that a chief justice would know or associate with. Or So the man looked up at him, and he says, yes, I think we know each other. He says, where do we know each other from? He says, the homeless man says, when you were going to Harvard U, I was going, and I was in your class. He says, oh, yes, I remember you. Well, what are you doing here? He says, well, I lost the desire. He was a top-notch lawyer, this man. He had also awards for his scholastics. And there he was, sitting on the street, just not even bemoaning his faith, just pretty much accepting it. Not even desiring to want to make any contribution to the society, just in a depressed, homeless condition. The point I'm trying to make is our educational system, and Srila Prabhupada harps on this again and again and again, is ineffective, it's inadequate, Because it leaves out the most important aspect of what makes a truly successful person, and that is to develop spiritual qualities. And from those and with those spiritual qualities, we begin to do the things that a spiritual person should, such as what we do. We chant 16 rounds, chanting the holy name, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, worshipping the deity, living in a holy dham, doing practical devotional service, praying to the Lord, sharing this knowledge with as many people as we can, encouraging human beings that there is more to life than just sexual pleasure. They don't know that there is a spiritual pleasure, a higher pleasure. It's like at Yamunacharya, he mentions, I don't know the exact quote, but he said, since I've been engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord, since I've been engaged in that, and I've been experiencing and realizing this transcendental bliss, he said, when I think of sex, I want to spit and my lip curls up in distaste. Why? He's got something better, greater, higher, bigger, more tasty. It's like stale bread, fresh bread. You know, stale bread, it's hard. You've got to chew it and chew it 100 times before you get even a little minuscule of sweetness. But a fresh bread, you just take 2 chews and it's just your mouth is just dribbling all sorts of saliva because it tastes so delicious. So when we become habituated to simply eating the hard, stale bread, and that's all we know, when we think that's the ultimate pleasure, that's the only pleasure people are going to be seeking. But we need to inform them and we need to be experiencing, we need to be achieving this transcendental bliss that Yamunacharya, who was a great king, by the way, before he entered into the order, sannyas. So he was a great king. So then he is expressing his feelings. And then in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada, and in his translation, a liberated person, if I can remember that, a liberated person, there's a nice, really beautiful verse, which I'll give you the essence anyway. A liberated person is always absorbed within, in trance, in the Supreme Lord. The self-realized soul therefore understands and knows that, or experiences a greater happiness from this inner connection, inner association, inner absorption in the Supreme Lord. In other words, you can chant Hare Krishna too, many ways actually. But one can simply be chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, trying to get it over with as fast as possible. And another can be addressing the Supreme Lord in his heart, as if he's actually talking to Krishna. You know, my dear Lord, talking to Radharani, please engage me in your service. He actually has that idea while he chants, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, please, begging, yearning, soliciting, petitioning, supplicating, all this because he wants to feel closer, wants to feel nearer, wants to feel dearer to Krishna. He wants this, and Krishna gives him a taste of that, injects or charges the soul with a surfeit of spiritual bliss. And the person feels that bliss, which Yamunacharya was talking about, or that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, when a person actually is associating with Krishna from within, then he feels so uplifted, so strong. He feels connection with everyone, because when we connect consciously with Krishna, we can't help but connecting with everyone. Because Krishna is like the sunshine, and the rays of the sunshine are all of us living entities. So when we connect with the source, we connect automatically with the rays which emanate from the sun. So we feel love, even though a person may have many bad qualities. Sometimes people ask us this question, how can you like this person? He has so many bad qualities. Because you're not seeing him in terms of the bad qualities. A humble sage by virtue of true knowledge sees with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahmin. a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. He sees the Supreme Lord and he sees the soul. And when he sees that, that is most important, because it is through the super soul that he's experiencing all this transcendental happiness and fulfillment and satisfaction. So that when he sees a person who has some bad qualities, he's also seeing the real person, the soul, over which these bad qualities are superimposed, and that those things can be removed. And the devotee feels beholden to try to assist and try to help and try to share. Sometimes that may be impossible. We understand that. But until it becomes that, a devotee sees somebody, we should try to share them, give them the holy name in whatever way we can. Let them touch the book. Let them look at the book. Or some of these telemarketers, you know, they call and they say, we have this wonderful product that you haven't even heard of. It's just been invented. And so some devotees, I know, they will say, well, wait a minute, I've got a product that you've never heard of. And you say, huh? Yeah, here it is. I'm going to give you three magic words. Now remember them, because you're going to make millions of sales today. Just maybe. Just by chanting them. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Let's start with Hare. Come on, let me hear. Hare. Krishna.
Krishna.
Rama.
Rama.
You got it. You've got it made. Nice talking to you. Click. Have a good day. And he will. So sometimes you don't let them get the best. You try not to let them get the best of you. You actually try to give them something useful, beneficial, and helpful. So that's the main point. We need to inform, we need to educate persons that there is a higher form of pleasure. That there is another kind of pleasure, which is on opposite sides. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, you know, the fresh bread instead of the stale bread, by experiencing a higher taste, one is fixed in true consciousness. And in that consciousness, we are always happy. And the happiness can go higher, it can go a little lower, but the happiness remains, because that is the love, the grace, the kindness, the sweetness, the goodness of Krishna, appreciating his devotees. I envy no one, I'm partial to anyone, I'm equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am a friend to him. What is that friendship? The friendship is Krishna is appreciating what we have offered to him, what we've given to him selflessly, without expectation of any return, that he's going to give me anything back. The very fact that I can serve him, that's the back. Service is a virtue, and service is a result. The result of service is you get the grace of Krishna, and the grace of Krishna is pure, true, undiluted, unalloyed happiness. And when we have that, we have everything. There is nothing more to be gained. That's why any of us here, especially some of you new people, if you have any doubts, you have any hesitations, you have any thoughts of maybe leaving, you know, what, I have to work 5-6 years to get this bliss. Yes, you may have to work 20 years, but when you have it, you have it. And as long as you don't commit offenses, and as long as you don't yield to material desires, it will get better and better and better and better all the time. Isn't that better to wait 20 years than instead go out into the corner bar and drink some alcohol, feel a quick pleasure, and then no pleasure, then depression, then more alcohol, more cocaine, more so-called ecstasy, more of this, more of that, and then what you have? You have to go for therapy, or you either want to shoot yourself, you become so depressed. The result of the education results in either suicide or homicide. Boys, young men going into high schools nowadays and shooting people up because they feel so worthless. Our business is to give them real worth. And real worth comes from associating with Krishna and his pure devotees. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I got something for you.
Krishna showed me I could give him another job.